Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your patience. Glory. When I know what's going on, I'm going to come Oh. Amen, amen. Praise God. Good to be in the house of God today, to be able to have a kind of relief from the weather. I'm just glad that we are, maybe we need some of this cold and icy weather to appreciate good weather. You know, sometimes you need some bad things to happen to you to appreciate the good things. You know, if you had all mountaintop experiences, then you probably wouldn't be too strong. But I thank God he give us valley experiences so we can appreciate, you know, can enjoy the things of God. You know, I appreciate the Lord today to realize that, you know, we're singing about the storms. You know, we have those in our life, and we don't want to magnify them, but they're there. So we just realize that we got a stronger force than storm. We have a power that exceeds our storms. What we have to do is try to tap into it and realize, you know, that sometimes you might not realize how much help you have available to you. And that's what I think about the good song we're singing, you know, to realize God is there for us, and we can begin to call up on him and begin to serve him. Brother Smith was talking about the Hebrew, the Jews, the platform they was operating in, and although they were God's people, they still had to be reminded, you know, that look, you know, Paul had to, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, reminded them, you know, that he gave them examples of some of the things that happened to the Jewish people. They fell into unbelief, you know, after God did all that he did. You know, think about it, you know, all the things that God did. You know, reading in Deuteronomy, where Moses reminded the Jewish, you know, he was telling the Jewish people, you know, look, some of these things, you know, God talked to your fathers, but there's some of these things you experienced in the wilderness, it wasn't your fathers, it was you. You know, God did this for you. You saw it. You know, you was there. And that's what, you know, some of these, our experience, we still have to be reminded, although we was there. You know, we experienced. You saw God roll back the Red Sea. You saw him feed you in the wilderness when there was no place, in the desert. Not just a wilderness, but it was a desert. No water, you know, no food. God provided for you. You know, and he gave them, you know, just think about, you know, shoes not wearing out 40 years. I mean, that's, now we got some companies that Brother Henry worked for, he used to work for U-Balance. You know, they make good shoes, but they won't last 40 years, I'm telling you. They won't last 40 years. So God, he was just reminding them that, you know, that's the kind of God you're serving, that's been watching over you all these years, you know. Serve him, you know. Begin to believe him. Begin to put your trust in him. You know, and that's what we're still being reminded today, you know, about God and his availability that he's allowed us to tap into. You know, God is available to us, and we can access that. He's accessible to us. You know, we can access the things of God, his spirit, his faithfulness. You know, we talk about God. He's there for us. And it just so much rely upon us. You know, it just, it's not God, it's us. You know, it depends on what we do. You know, God done his part. You know, I look at a lot of things, you know, that I've experienced in life, and I said, Lord, you know, you've been there. You know, when you read even David, you know, he talks about the righteous, you know, not being forsaken. and you never seen a seed begging for bread. You know, some of these things, you know, it maybe take a few years to kind of experience it, but he's right. But he's right, you know. God take care of his people. I just see that, you know. Longevity, some of that, you know, we do have problems. God's people die as well as the world, but I still see God's hand, you know. That's what I have to try to see when God deal with his people. I just try to see the hand of God. You know, God, they, like somebody said, God makes no mistakes. You know, he's not to be to blame for any of the things that, you know, he meant it for good. And I believe like Joseph, when he talked to his brothers, you know, they did him wrong, but he saw that God was in it. He said, although you did evil to me, but God was in this, you know. And that's what we have to see is God and what's going on. We have to find God and what's going on. And that's what I try to find God. And that helps keep you going because, you know, you can get weary. You can get weary doing the good things. And serving God, you can get weary. But if you can just see, like Paul tells us, say, you know, we do things or even talks about our job, working, you know, with masters that maybe not too, they're forward or whatever they may be. But he said, you're doing this unto the Lord. Just remember that. You're doing this as unto the Lord, not to men. You know, forget that. Just don't try to serve men, but serve God. Even on in your workforce, you know, in your workplace or whatever, you know, you're serving God. You're doing this as unto the Lord. That'll help you a lot. I tell you, it'll help you to go through things. You know, you're not serving men because sometimes, you know, people don't appreciate what you do. You know, they may not tell you, you know, whatever, but you're serving God. And when you keep that in perspective, keep that in your mindset, then you can go through a lot of things. You can go in this world because, you know, after all, you know, God was merciful to us and allowed us to find his people, give us the Holy Ghost and wonderful teachings on the body of Christ to help us understand, you know, what God is doing. You know, understand what's going on in this world. You know, you can look at this world, you look at the bad things that's going on, and you can get discouraged. You know, people commit suicide. I mean, they can't handle it. But the only way we can handle this is having God in our life. You know, having God on our side, we can handle things that's going on in this world. We can not get to the point to where we don't know what to do. You know, throw our hands up and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But we know we can turn to God. So anyway, it's good to be here and to be in the house of God today, be able to lift him up and to appreciate all the good folks here with us. We got visitors here from other places, and I know they was, Brother Smith mentioned them this morning in Bible study, but I'll have to need some help here. So anyway, I know Sister Pat's daughter, Sister Pat's daughter and her daughter. Good to have them here today. Brianna and what's, okay, good to have them here. And then, of course, Andrew and Brittany, Connor, and Olivia. Yes, good to have them. Praise the Lord. And I know it's Hislop. 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 And then Rachel, good to have them here today. Bless them. All right, am I missing anybody? God is so good to us. It's the lack of you. Brother Wallace is really, I feel like God is helping him. He's been through quite a bit, so God is with you, Brother Wallace. God bless you. All right, anybody else? Any other? We got needs? I know Brother Smith mentioned Brother Boyd having with the flu. He's down. He's sick today. So remember that. So remember the brother and sister Crow, always remember to pray for them. And Donna Henderson, yes, remember Sister Donna, pray for her. Any other requests? Unspoken request. All right. Anybody else? Well, Thompson? Brother Johnson and his wife. Remember, Sister Rochella. Demetia? Okay. Demetia. John is there. Okay, remember John. Demetria, John. Sister Inez, remember her. Keep on your heart. Pray for her. Brother and Sister Wilson, yes. Remember them. And Sister Abraham. Special unspoken. All right. Sister Abraham. All right, her family. Sister Painter. Your mom? Okay. Remember that need today. Pray for her. All right, any other request? Brother Ogden. Yes. Keep praying. Keep praying for Brother Ogden's sister. Yes. Just keep praying. You know, prayer does help. sometimes, you know, progress is sometimes slow, but as long as you can see progress, it's good. So anyway, let's remember these. Any other requests? Let's the ushers get the ready, and we'll do the offering as well. So let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord and ask that God will help his people, you know, touch our needs here today as we begin to lift up his name. Lord, we thank you. This time you've given us, Lord, lift up your name. Remember your people, oh God, and their needs, Lord. We want to have compassion in our hearts, Lord, for your people. Oh, God, help each one today. Oh, Lord, help us to believe. Put our trust in you, Lord. Oh, blessed be your holy name, oh God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name, oh God. We thank you. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be your name. Oh, blessed be your holy name, Jesus. Bless your name. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Praise God. Thank you. Lord. Precious Savior. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Glory, glory, glory.
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my home. I make mistakes. I often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just why I say I'm of a special kind. And when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Before he knew me, yet he when he blood flowed down his scarlet robe and stained a crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crown that day, he looked ahead in time, and when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. Scarlet robe stained a crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time, and when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So his amazing love, unending. It is so much more than I am worthy of. If a than I am worthy of. as he hung there on the cross of Mount Calvary. He cried, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." They had refused the greatest love ever known to man, and that same choice is here to make for me and you. His amazing love, unending, it is so much more than I am worthy of. If a song could speak my feelings, I'd sing.
I wasn't planning on this today. This life's full of surprises. I am really grateful to be here. I'm grateful of the circumstances that brought us here, and I appreciate the warmth and the love that the church has shown us. I want to say that first and foremost. It does our hearts well, you know, to know that you all love us and, you know, you're helping us with this, you know, this new chapter in our lives we're going to be starting soon. I really appreciated the Bible study first this morning and then the songs. And it kept triggering a story I'd been studying recently in the Old Testament, the story in Judges, where, let's go back and, you know, into Joshua. The Brother Talley mentioned, you know, Deuteronomy, all the great wonders God had performed for his children, and yet they still kind of, they'd get kind of stubborn and, I guess, unsatisfied sometimes with what he had done for them. And Joshua, I'd like to read it just to get it right. It's in Joshua 23, and he's speaking to, I think it's before he's established all the tribes, but he said, he's telling them that, you know, God has promised them to go in and take over this land, to wipe out all the Canaanites. And he's telling them, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And he's telling them that if they do not follow his commandments, these are the things that are going to kind of come down on you. And he said, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he hath destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed, it's almost like he knew they were going to, the covenant of the Lord your God which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. And that takes... I was kind of reading that because it kind of backs up what happens in Judges, where they go into this land and they are constantly conquering. And I'm a very kind of symbolic type of a thinking person, where everything I read in the Bible, not all of it is can be used that way, but I like to kind of switch words out to make it more applicable to my life. You know, the all these snares and everything, I look at things that could come on me if I don't follow God's commandments. You know, the commandments we've been given since Jesus Christ came, died for our sins. We've been given rules and guidelines we have to follow. And in Judges, these tribes, they were constantly conquering. And then they went into this one land, and they encountered iron chariots. And they were intimidated by those iron chariots. I use in my life, I use those iron chariots as problems I encounter. You know, struggles in jobs, sickness, all these things. And what it did was it intimidated them and caused them to just settle down, to not keep going, to not keep moving forward, to not continue conquering. And I look at that as not just conquering a people, but in my life, it's conquering a lust I have, a desire I have, all these sins and baggage that I've accumulated over the years. If I get to a certain point, I'm like, that problem is too big. I'm fine right here. I'm just going to kind of settle down. Well, what they did was they did that. They settled down because of a fear. I wrote it down. It was a song earlier. Our God is mighty. He is bigger than anything. He's bigger than any iron chariot. There's no, and these people, they saw that iron chariot for what it was. They didn't. They forgot all the things God had done for them. All the Red Sea parting, all those miracles that were spoke of earlier, just completely forgot about them. And I don't ever want that to happen. No, I look at myself, and I'm not boasting, but I look at myself as a miracle based on the life that I lived. The drugs, the alcohol, just the criminal lifestyle I was consumed with for 10 years of my life. I have many of friends that have gone to prison, been to prison, in prison, and I'm not. You know, the Lord reached in that miry clay someone mentioned earlier and just said, "You are mine. I'm not going to let you go." But the thing is, once he pulls me out, I just can't settle down. I have to continue conquering these problems that I face all the time. And there are some of them when I get to a point, I think, Brother Smith, you said earlier, you get aggravated when there are certain things that come up that you kind of haven't, you know, kicked the habit, as they say. And that happens a lot. I have a month where I'm sitting good, and I'm like, man, I'm doing, you know, I'm gonna make that bride. I'm on track, and then I wake up one morning and it all just comes back. But I don't act on that. I'm still trying to conquer. I don't want to be, you know, it's the promised land, is what they were promised, and yet they settled and didn't follow through with what God had told them to do. I don't want to see that iron chariot. I don't want to see that just whatever comes up in our life. I don't want to see that as something I can't overcome, because I know that my God is bigger than anything. That word anything covers everything. And our God can do everything and anything, but he needs, as was said earlier, a vessel of honor to carry, to use that Holy Spirit in our lives to conquer those things. And, you know, in Haggai, where they had quit building that tabernacle. They were building a literal tabernacle. And I can't remember what was the conversation was, but they were like, well, it's just not time to build. It's just not time to build. I don't want to have that mentality of just settle down and just wait. You know, my time to build my tabernacle to help this church as a whole, the body of Christ, move on is now. I don't want to sit. I don't want to settle. I don't want to see that iron chariot. I don't want to see that struggle as anything. It may hurt. It may hurt really bad. But the promise is living eternally. It's not necessarily we're not going to get scrapes and bruises along the way. It's not that I'm going to overcome or go through every trial I go through without scrapes and scars, but my goal and my vision and my focus always needs to be on what's beyond this life. And I don't want to look back on all the stuff I've done. I'm tired of looking back at all the stuff I've done. A lot of those things, Lord's taken away from me slowly. But I'm just, you know, I'm just tired. And I'm not tired of going on. I'm tired of holding on to all this baggage. I'm gaining strength to carry this work on with the help of everyone. It's not a one-person thing. It's collectively. We all have to be one mind. You know, I took an operations management class in college, and they did a study on all these great sports teams, the Chicago Bulls, just all these Celtics, all these teams that had done great things. And they were trying to find the component that caused those teams to be so great and so dominant. And they couldn't find anything. They couldn't find that specific thing that they all kind of had in common, except they all had the same vision. At the beginning of the season, they all had the vision. We are going to be the best team. We are going to win whatever championship or whatever they were striving for. And that's the kind of mindset I'm trying to have, and I know that we all have to have. We all have to have the mindset that we are going to reach that promised land. And the thing is it takes so much action. It takes so much action to, you can't just say it. I'm speaking to myself. I can't just say it and then sit back and just expect me to kind of coast on into it, ride the current. It's going upstream. You know, I don't want to get washed back down. I want to keep going forward. And I know with all of us, you know, working together, I feel, you know, as you hear in the meetings and stuff, I feel like there's a camaraderie, there's a blending, there's a bonding going on. You know, I never knew. I left church in 2000, right after high school, and I didn't know that there was. First of all, for those of you who don't know me, I'm from Louisville, and I didn't know there was other churches involved. And then I come back in 2008, 2010, and I'm like, who are all these people? Come to find out, I had family in Texas I never knew existed. Just like all these, I'm just ready to get all that out of the way. I'm just ready to move forward with everyone that's involved in this collectively. I'm ready to go forward with you all. I've never had a joy like I've had the last 4 years of my life. For 10 years, I fought and fought and fought to achieve that happiness. And it's just, you'd have little glimpses. And that's all the world, I'm sure Brother Smith says it, all that the world offers is little glimpses of happiness. There's never sustaining joy. The only thing you'll find joy in is serving the Lord. I'm not just up here talking because this is what my parents have said. That's what I hear in church. I'm talking and saying it because I've lived it. 10 years, I lived a rough, grimy life. And I don't feel time, this is the time to share my testimony necessarily. I've seen and done a lot. I'm not worthy. Like, these songs just spoke to me today. I'm not worthy, but yet I'm here. And I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for the literal family I've been, you know, married into, and then the spiritual family. If I hadn't married Rachel, I wouldn't know any of you. And I feel like I'm the better for being exposed and meeting all of you all. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. We're going to make it. But we can't make it being stagnant. We can't make it just standing here. I have to constantly be changing my life for the better. I want to change my life for the better. I'm trying to just fill my mind with things that make me better. Because I'm not going to be satisfied with where I'm at until or if I reach the perfected state. And my mind is everywhere, but I'm going to sit down. I'm sorry if I spoke too long, but I feel good. I feel real good. I'm ready to go on with you all. Praise the Lord.
Anybody here this morning? Good morning. Good morning. Morning. It's good to be back at one of my foundations this morning. You know, Brother Hazel up here was talking about going through the wilderness. Yesterday, we were trying to get the family up, going to my grandpa's house, and I texted my grandpa. I said, it's like trying to move the Israelites into the promised land this afternoon. we had a little trouble getting around sometimes. So, but it is good to be here and listen to some of these songs that I've grown up with, and I always appreciate the spirit that you feel. My dad sings that song, and I was listening to some of the words. I was thinking about some of the patience and some of the things that you have to think about when you're going through some of the struggles that Brother Hazel was talking about. And I've had some own little steps along the way. Now you may think this is tedious, but this is kind of my story of things. Sometimes I have a short fuse as a as a child, I've always had that, and some of y'all have known me as a child, knew that about me, but I am working on it, and so some one of the things that recently that I did is I became a homeowner a couple years ago, and as a homeowner, or if you own a car, or if you don't, you'll experience these things if you haven't already. So we're doing the dishes, and the garbage disposal's not working. And the home is 10 years old, and the garbage disposal came with it. And, you know, so I'm sitting there looking at this thing. I'm like, my wife sent me to the store to get something, and she had been telling me about how the garbage disposal wasn't working. Well, I was at Lowe's getting, what did you send? I was looking at some parts for the dishwasher and stuff like that. And I said, well, if we're going to get a dishwasher, we might as well get a garbage disposal. So I said, I think I went there to get something for the shower. that's a man for you, I guess. So I come home, instead of just this one thing for the shower, I have a garbage disposal and a dishwasher and all kinds of other stuff that I probably shouldn't have gotten. But I just went ahead and got it because I'm tired of dealing with this. You know, I'm going to fix this thing. We're going to get it going today. So the next day it arrives and they deliver it. And I decide I'm going to save myself $300 and I'm going to install it myself. And so I start tearing this thing apart. Eating cake. I'm looking at this, you can take apart a dishwasher easy, you know. And so I start pulling all the pieces out and getting it together. And my wife's wonderful kitchen is now a construction zone. And so I've got all these pieces out, and I'm looking, and I'm saying, okay, how do I get this thing together? And so I'm looking at each little step. And it's kind of, I started thinking about this, you know, each of our lives, there's steps and processes that you take in life that if you make one wrong move, you can be in a world of hurt. You can have a flooded kitchen. You can have a messed up piece of equipment. You can have a lot of problems here. And so I started thinking about that in my daily life, like what little processes am I taking to be the best that I can be, the best in every situation right now? What am I supposed to be doing right this second? You want to have an overall picture in mind, right? We all want to make the bride. We all want to put that dishwasher in there and get it working. But you also have to be paying attention to each little step. And I thought that's what I was doing when I started putting this dishwasher together. Oh, I'm gonna put this dishwasher together and I'm gonna get it all connected. And that was when I noticed that the garbage disposal was in the condition that it was in, and I ended up going back again for the third time to get that garbage disposal. And so I put all the pieces together, and I hooked it all up, and I cranked it on and to let it do a test cycle. And I've got my little flashlight underneath this dishwasher, and I'm looking at it to make sure that it's not fixing to explode, because you have to do some wiring and all that good stuff. So I'm looking at it, I'm like, did I connect this right? And as I'm laying on my belly here, my belly starts to get wet. I'm like, uh-oh. I'm yelling, Brittany, come in here. And I got my hands in the air, and I'm digging through the closets trying to see. And sure enough, there's this little clamp that you have to connect to the garbage disposal that if you don't clamp it just tight enough and just on thick enough, that it will pop right off right when the pressure hits it. When the pressure hits it, that's when it came off. And sure enough, water was all under the sink, and we got to pull out the linoleum under the sink and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, here we go. We got to, might as well just smile. Just smile, honey. Just smile. And so I got it. We got it all cleaned up. We worked together. We got the kids out of the room. We, you know, whatever we did, turned on something. And got it all cleaned up. And then I learned what little piece I needed to fix. And we got it working. And happy home, happy wife, happy life, right? And so dishwasher's working, garbage disposal's working. But, you know, I thought about that, you know, when the pressure's on, are all the pieces in place? Do you have the support that you and love that you've dedicated to your family? Have you told your wife how much you've appreciated her? Have you told your brother at home, if you're a child, have you told your brother how much you appreciate him? I know on the way here, you're probably yelling at each other like some of us do, you know, and then you get in the church, brother, how are you? Good to see you, you know, and everybody's smiling. It's a great family. And then you go right back in the car, and it's, oh, you did this, and you looked at me the wrong way, and you know, why didn't you tell me I had a stain on my pants, and that type of deal. I think we've all been there, right? But to find, I was thinking about this, how hard it is to find the small appreciations for one another. You know, Brittany, I really appreciate the way you take care of our kids. You know, Mom, I always appreciated the way you comb my hair when I was a kid, even though I hated combing it side over, and here I have a comb over. You know, the little things that you can say can change someone's day in an instant. I was talking to, I'm in sales and I'm in customer service, and you know, I sell business products and things, and I was talking to this lady, and she's had a pretty rough life. She's about 65 years old, and she's had a pretty rough life when it comes to her kids, men that she's had in her life. Her mother just passed away. So, you know, I talk to people, and they start crying with me on the phone. You know, and I've customers, people I've never even met before. And so interesting how you can talk to someone and build that relationship and understanding of what they're going through. If you just ask them a question, just, hey, how are you today? You know, it's a great day. Thank you so much for talking to me today. And just to be in your presence with somebody else and other people. You know how boring it would be if we came here and just, you know, it was just you. Just you sitting here looking around. And, you know, I think we've all heard that that message about how the preacher came in, it was snowing, and there was that one guy that came into church, and he said, well, now's my chance to really get through to this guy, this pastor said, and you know, and so he really laid down the message, and after church was over, he went to the guy, and he said, well, what'd you think of a service? He goes, man, it was a good service. Too bad nobody else was here to hear it. Guy didn't get anything, he said, you know, and so sometimes it would be boring if nobody had to hear what you had to say, feel what you had to felt, carry the burdens that you carry. Because I think that's ultimately what family is about. I feel if we don't grow within our family, we don't have a whole lot in life. And I've tried to live that within myself, that if I don't build a relationship with my grandparents, I've only got a couple of grandparents left. And so if we don't build that relationship with our families, our friends, I've only got one guy in high school that I've even kept in communication with. And some people don't have any. And I feel that's a true value that we can grow from, that. You know, I was looking at a lady the other day on Facebook, and there was four ladies sitting at her birthday table. I think she was, how old is Sister Marie Perry? She's in her 60s, 65. You know, and if you can grow old with a couple of friends, you live a truly blessed life, and your family to come home for the holidays and visit with you. And so, every little thing, if you're having a bad day, if you're having some struggles, if you're in the valleys and you want to get to that peak, you're not always going to stay there. But just remember that if you take an extra few seconds to recognize and realize what not only God has done for you, but others have done for you as well, and God through them for you, and you can work for Him through your own life and be able to touch someone else's if you just stop and just say thank you, and that I love you, or I appreciate you. I appreciate the little things that you do every single day for our children. You know, just those small little words. And so I'm really appreciative of hearing these little life lessons of the dishwasher experiences that we all go through, the family that I've married into, that's married into mine. I really appreciate my brother-in-law. You know, I'm not going to lie, I was a little concerned sometimes when I would meet different people, and I'm like, man, I don't know what kind of guy is going to come into our family. You think about those things, and now that I have a daughter, I'm like, what kind of man is going to come into my family somewhere down the road? And I hope it's like somebody like Andy Hayslip. And I really appreciate the church family that you guys have built here. I know there's some in and outs, but I see some new faces, which really exciting. It's really exciting. I know that you guys are going to find strength here. I know I did. And so I really appreciate if you guys just hold on and hold tight to the Lord. I know He'll give you some strength.
I'm thankful to be here. I was listening to our our brother talk about how things, you know, it's got to be in motion. You know, you can't just sit still, can you? I mean, it reminded me of I like these little science shows you see on Nat Geo and stuff like that, you know, and I don't buy in everything, you know. I don't drink all the Kool-Aid or anything like that. But, you know, one thing they said was our Earth, you know, we got tectonic plates that move. And I'm probably going to, when I say this, you're probably going to say that guy, you know, those that are you in the know, probably going to say this guy don't know what he's talking about, but you'll get my meaning, you know. Because you know how these the Earth is alive, and it creates keeps our food chain going, and this is caused by the tectonic plates that move, which stirs up currents and things like that, which creates the little microbes grow, plankton or what have you, and that creates a big bloom of food, which, you know, then the next shrimp or something eat those, and, you know, I don't know, and then the sardines, and, you know, and so it creates this, you know, this food chain, and because the Earth is moving now. Now, science says that if the Earth, when this is all, you know, the supposedly we had one big Pangea thing, you know, that when all the continents were together and they all separate and are moving, you know, that moves, you know, an inch or two a year or something like that. And when this all comes back together, the tectonic plates is going to quit moving and the Earth's going to die. Well, see, you can't believe everything, can you? You know, so, but, you know, it's interesting. And you can see, though, that there's an engine, you know. Everything moves. There's a and God put that in motion, and you know it creates these things and or brings these things to maturity because they move. God created everything, and the Earth don't create anything, but it brings things to maturity is what it does, because the things has got to keep moving. And so I thought that was interesting, and then. Then our brother's talking about, you know, he's in sales, you know, he talks to people, you know, and showed how he appreciates his wife, the way take care of the kids, and probably how they interact, you know, and really, you know, I was talking to one of my children yesterday, and man, he was negative, you know. Oh, Lord, somebody went down the road, had loud pipes. What's he trying to prove? You know. So what? You know. Get over it. You know. Blessed are the flexible. They won't get bent out of shape, you know. And who's just like that all day, you know. And I had him with me doing something. I just kind of tapped him on the shoulder. I said, chill out, you know. So, you know, We get different moods and things, and, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, Brother Andrew was talking about, he talks to people and talks to some that don't even know, you know, you hear probably a lot of problems and things like, I think where Sister Julie Lace is, I think she deals with the same thing, kind of, and probably hears a whole story, you know. I do too. Sometimes people call me and they want to tell me the whole story, you know, the whole story. And, you know, you patiently endure and everything, and you're long-suffering and kind, and we need to be, don't we? And I don't want to do that begrudgingly, you know what I mean? I want to have a heart that will be patient enough to listen to people, because they wouldn't talk to you if they didn't think they needed a sounding board, would they? They wouldn't do that. So maybe there's some that would, but, you know, we'll give a little bit of space for that. But anyway, I'm fixing to say something, and I hope this is in line with everything. I remember when I was in the old church, Brother Tucker. He taught us to stay in the channel, you know. He said, if we're talking about the Godhead or something like that, don't get up and start talking about missionaries in China, you know. And I hope this fits. I hope I don't go down this road, but when Brother Andrew was talking about that, it reminded me of something I heard on the radio. Well, this man, he's talking about his family, had some daughters, Brother Painter. They were in the teenage stage of life, you know. I think he had two or three of them. And so he goes in the house, you know, after a day's work, and he sees one of them. And he says, "Hi." And she looked at him, jumped up, run in the bedroom, slammed the door. So he goes to his wife. He said, "Honey, what was it? What's going wrong?" And she said, "Darling, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. Hi. Hi." How do you get all that, you know? But anyway, it's just how you communicate sometimes, you know. I guess you got to, I don't know. So I just thought that would be humorous or maybe not either, but anyway. That was my missionary in China message anyway. Anyway, I'm thankful to be here.
Steve's sickness, and I thought that's all I was going to go through at the time that I went through his sickness. I didn't know everything else was going to befall us at the same time, but you wonder how many things you deal with at one time, but I guess it's kind of like the dishwasher. Everything has to be worked on at the same time somehow. I don't know. While he was in the hospital, I left to go get him a card and a balloon and pick up somebody from work and try to take Rhonda some groceries and do whatever I could do to help everybody that's in my life that depends on me. And I turned around the corner and my serpentine belt broke on the car. Hadn't had any problem with the car. Got new tires on the car, and I was still making payments on them. Somebody was kind enough to let me make payments because I didn't have the money to pay for them, but they were worried that I was going to have a blowout, and they said, "Well, I'm like your husband. I think maybe you need new tires, and I'm willing to work with you if you'll make payments." I said, "I can make payments, but I appreciate your kindness." And anyway, when I break the serpentine belt, if they have to go in there, I found out you have to replace the water filter and something else. They have to check the valves, be sure that when the belt broke, it didn't disturb something else in there and everything else. And next thing I know, they said, "Oh, I think you need new brakes." I thought, I didn't even know the serpentine belt was going to break, which I didn't get back to the hospital to my husband to see about him. And I thought, I think I'm just going to lose it. I think I'm going to lose my mind because actually I need to be back at the hospital. I've got the card. I got the balloon. The balloon flew out of the car when they tried to help me with the motor and find out what was. Okay, let me tell you. I turned the corner. The car died. I mean, right there died. I didn't know what was wrong with it. And I thought, well, nobody is going to get their pretty little plastic car and push me like they used to do with the metal ones. And so I'm going to have to push this car out of the way. I was in the lane of three ways of traffic. and they were all, I had some, one man drove by and said, get out of the road. And I thought, I didn't plan this. You know, I'm sorry I messed up your day. But anyway, I thought, well, my daddy taught me how to put that car in neutral, and I can push this car if I have to, you know. I can do what I have to do to make it, you know. I God gave me 2 feet, 2 hands, you know. I can do what I got to do. And just because you're a woman or just because you're a man, just because you're a child, doesn't mean you're going to get excused out of the way if something happens to you. You know, you still got to push the car. So I was trying to get the car out. I had already put it, and I thought, I don't know how I'm going to guide the car and push it. It's, I don't have the strength, really, to push the car. But I thought, well, God will give me strength. You know, he helps us do what we got to do. So this little young man appeared in one window, and a man appeared in the other, and he said, hop in that car, and we're going to push you out of the way. I thought, I didn't even have time to pray and ask God to help me. Really, I didn't. It all happened suddenly. And I thought, oh, my God, he's instant. He brought help instantly. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, there was a little wife behind that man and that boy that said, hey, her car's broke down. Y'all get out of this car. Get over there and help that woman. She's stuck in traffic, and everybody's talking bad to her. So I thought, bless her heart for that, you know. And they were so willing to help. And they're Baptist people. Little homeschooling Baptist people, I found out, and very sweet, caring people and sharing people. They worked on my car all day in the wind trying to fix my car. They pushed it out of the way, and it was real windy and cold, and I didn't know what I was going to do. Steve was in the hospital. I still was getting the card and the balloon and trying to get it so he'd have something when he woke up to show, you know, hey, I care. And anyway, they worked on my car all day. They had a computer in their car. He happened to be a technician for the Baptist Hospital. He keeps everything going there. He keeps the air conditioning, heating, the boiler, all that stuff going. He's the head maintenance guy. I didn't know what they did. I thought, my gosh, who carries a computer in their car to work on cars, you know? Well, he had one. He hooked it up to my car, and he said, well, there's a sensor wrong. I said, oh. I said, how much is that? He said, it's nothing. He went and got it, put it in my car, didn't fix the car, fixed a second sensor. And I said, how much is that? And they said, nothing. And I said, well, now, you know, two things, that's at least $15 a piece, probably, maybe 20 or more. I said, and I don't have that kind of money right now. And I said, I don't want y'all to keep working on the car and putting yourself in the hole. And I can't. I said, I can pay you later. I can't pay you right now. And they said, well, we're going to fix your car. I said, you are? And he said, yeah. I said, you pushed my car out of the way. I didn't even get to ask God for that. I said, he instantly sent y'all my way. And I said, now you're going to fix my car? And I said, the weather's bad out here, and you're going to stand in this weather, work on my car all day. He said, yes. I said, well, can I tell you something? My husband's in the hospital. And I said, I need your help, but I'm not going to ask someone to go out of their way that much to help me. He said, you don't have to. He said, we're here. We're not leaving. I said, are you kidding? Are you kidding me? He said, no. And they didn't. For 3 days, they carried me everywhere I needed to go. They bought groceries for me. They carried my husband home from the hospital. They took me to a service that night. I should have been in service here, but they took me to a service in a home and fed me and let me watch a presentation with them, which was very sweet. It was about martyrdom and people that sacrifice for the Lord in the past, and they were bringing it to the present that we're going to have to make sacrifices and that we may have to die, you know. to do it because there is an element in the world right now fighting Christianity and fighting people that believe in Jesus. And they're killing people every day right now. That there's people being sacrificed right now all over the world. And it's going to come home to us before it's over with. They're working on it every day trying to get to us. And you never know what's going to come and disturb your peace. You know, you think you get everything fixed and everything's in order and you got everything fixed and organized. And I'm a real organizer. I like to organize things and get them in order where they go smoothly. I love smoothness. I hate roughness. I hate chaos. I hate things out of control or broken or, you know, try to keep everything running smooth. And in the meantime, I just want to tell you, I want to share some of this with you. You have no idea what we've been going through. I didn't want to bother anybody, and it's, I know everybody else is going through theirs. So, you know, I'm praying for you, really, and not wanting to worry you with mine. But first of all, when I turned 65, they canceled my check with AT&T, my disability check. Then they said, well, you can get it started back and we'll pay you back all the way, but, you know, you got to get all these papers in order. And I had to get them notarized and copied and mailed off, you know, to prove that I mailed them. I had to pay extra for that and everything else, and got all that done and everything. And it was late. And then they told me, well, we're going to cancel your insurance because you don't have any money to pay for all this insurance. It was $700, and I didn't have a check. My check was $700. They took it. I didn't have anything to pay it with. And he's going in the hospital. And oh, never mind, they're going to change our insurance. So I thought, oh God, I got tags I got to get on the car to run. His truck's broke down. Rhonda lost her car. My daughter lost her car. It died. Two of them. I've got them at the wrecking yard. They're trying to salvage them for me to give us the money to pay us for that. And I had to clean the cars out before they could do that. So I've been cleaning the cars out. My daughter had inspection in her home. She was going to lose it. She's on housing because they had a head-on car collision about 8 years ago. And she's been on housing ever since with five children. And I had to get her house clean, because she wasn't up to doing it all by herself and taking care of kids, getting them to school every day, getting them back home. And she lives too close for them to bus her free, which is included in the school system there. So we had to hire CareLink, $15 a week, to bus her children there and back twice a day, because one goes to Benton, because they didn't have room for him in Bryant. I'm telling you, if I even told you all of it. And then, plus I've got him getting ready for spine surgery. And I can't make my house payment. I'm going to lose my house. And now I'm three payments behind. And, you know, I just really worry about all of it, but it really got bigger than I was, you know. And I remember my daddy used to go through a lot of things. Our pastors used to go through a lot of worry with all the churches and everything. And I thought, well, they didn't get frown wrinkles like I do. You know, they just got through it and made it. And I thought, well, I can make it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to let it worry me, make me sick. I can't take care of my husband if I'm sick. So, you know, and my children. So Steve's at the hospital. I got to get him home. The insurance is going to lapse. I went and borrowed from two people to get the insurance paid. And I didn't know when the check was going to start back. We haven't been able to get income tax refund for the last 2 years because I'm on sick pay. They changed it. Obamacare changed it to sick pay instead of earned income. Unearned income. So for 2 years I couldn't get a refund. We were putting money in the church. I couldn't do that anymore because it took that. I couldn't even pay the rent. And I thought, okay, Lord, everything. I know you're going to take care of this. I don't know how. I can't even imagine. But, you know, I'm just here. And so I borrowed from two people, got the insurance paid. Got him all set up for the hospital. They had to change all my insurance. It was dropped. I have a savings account, which I didn't know about, with a reimbursement possibility. But I hadn't got that started back yet. I've got to do papers for that yet. And that's about, I'm 3 months behind already on that one. I hope I don't lose it. I probably will. But that's about either $600 to $1,200 back that they will pay me or won't, that I've lost maybe. And I did get that first paid, but I'm still $11 short. They said I've got to catch that up to get everything kicked in. And then United Healthcare through AARP, which is my secondary insurance. The reason I'm telling y'all all this, you may go through it. I'm going through it now. I don't know if anybody else has been through it. I know Brother Tally's gone through some of it because he works at the same company I did, and or Southwestern Bell, and I'm AT&T because they split me when the company split and put me with AT&T. So, so to keep my health insurance, I had to re-register with everything again in December, pay $700 and get that paid up. It turned out to be $1,000, by the way. When, by the time I got it paid, it was $1,000. So I borrowed $650 from one person, $350 from another, and got that paid. And they told me I could pay them back whenever I was able. I thought, oh, my God. I just got my tires paid for. Now $700 on the car getting it fixed. His truck's dead in the backyard. The Jeep's in the front yard. I can't get it tagged so he can have a way to drive. Okay, now they tell me the insurance didn't kick in, so I owe $200 more January, February, March. I don't know where that's coming from. Now my third payment behind on the rent. I got all the bills paid. I paid all the bills with what I had. And I still have three credit cards I can't cover right now. I'm going to get it covered. But, you know, I don't know where it's coming from. God knows. But I know he's always taking care of us. I know he will always be there for me. This, he says nothing can come between his love for us. Nothing can separate us from him. And I'm depending on him. He's my Father. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's my friend. And I depend on him because I don't have family here besides y'all. You know, and I know y'all all have your shoulders loaded. I know that. I'm not stupid. I worked all my life. I know. I know what working is. I know what home life is. I know what church life is. I taught Christian school for 8 years, free. I dedicated myself to that so I could learn how to raise my own children.
Praise the Lord. Let's all stand and pray for the Wallaces. They've been going through it lately. Let's ask God to help
I'm
them.
I'm sorry, Brother Smith.
That's all right. We feel your heart. Let's ask God to touch them. Brother Wallace and her have been through it lately. Dear God, touch them, Lord. Help them, O Lord, through this situation in their life. O God, reach down with your mercy and your grace. Precious Lamb of God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Touch Brother Wallace's body and help him, Lord. Oh, God, blessed be the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, God, that we have you as our help in our time of need. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Praise God. All right. I'm a 15-minute preacher. That's all right. He's felt your heart in that, Sister Wallace. Praise God. It's good to have the Douglas family back. We miss Sister Renata and Brother Terrence. I'm really thankful today to have my little cousin, Sister Jenny Joy, and her daughter Brianna. It's been about 4 years, I think, since they were down here. She took care of Sister Pat and during her last days of cancer. So I know Sister Smith and I taking care of my mother. I know being a caregiver is tough. She's a nurse practitioner that's what her job is. But anyway, I just appreciate. I haven't been able to get to see her very much, so I'm really glad to have them here today. And then, of course, the rest of my family. Connor, we're glad Connor's here. He's getting at that age that he likes to know that you know that he's here. And then our little granddaughter, we hadn't seen her, Olivia, since she was just right after she was born. We went down there, but anyway, I'm just thankful to have our family. And then Andy and Rachel, they had a pretty difficult drive getting here on their trip down. And I told Andy, I said, it's downhill all the way. It's uphill going back. So I couldn't give him too much encouragement. But anyway, they're going to have us another great grandbaby. So we're thankful for, to have them here. And then we're excited about, he called it the next chapter in their life. I think it's already started, really. But anyway, we're just glad to have all of them here. But most of all, I'm glad for the Lord and what he's afforded in our lives. He's made us a part. We were talking in Bible study about the letter to the Hebrews, and he called them holy brethren, partakers of the calling. And I feel that way. The word holy means saints are sanctified, to be separated and set apart, that God would think enough of us to call us. I don't think it's because I feel like Brother Andy, I don't feel worthy to be here. I feel like and I know that it's not because I'm special or anybody special to God. Why he called me, the bottom line is that he has a plan to save mankind, to reconcile man back to God. And it's like Andy said, this is our time. It's your time, because this is when God's grace was able to reach you. There's many people that God's grace hasn't reached yet. It's not been available to everyone. God, it's not God's will that any should perish, the Bible tells us. But he can't reach everyone. God has to have a way to reach you and I. And the fact that we're here proves that his grace has reached us. We sang a song, I'm glad it reaches me. I'm glad that God's grace reached my life. I know sometimes I've looked at, I remember Michael when he was just seeing these little babies, I remember when he was a baby. I remember when he was just a little bitty infant, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night and Ann would be in there taking care of him. I didn't even hear him whimper, but she did. she was in there taking care of him. And so there's so many experiences that you go through in life. But, and I brought that up because as he grew up in the church, there's times when I was, you know, starting new churches that he was the only young person. He was the only person. And sometimes I thought he's bound to feel like he didn't get to make a choice. You know, I'm sure some of you kids feel that way, that, you know, mom and daddy went to church, they took me to church. In fact, some of you got the Holy Ghost and didn't even ask for it. You just were made apart by inheritance. You know, and I'm sure sometimes you feel like, you know, I didn't even get to make a choice. You know, I was just drug into this, drafted more or less. The thing that you don't realize is that you're blessed among all children in the earth, that God's grace could reach you, that some way God had a way to reach your life. He had a way to touch you because you were exposed to the things of God. You know, by inheritance, you came into this because somebody else, that's something that you have to understand about God's grace and His mercy. There's being mercy laid up in heaven. Just like Sister Renata and Terrence's children there. They're here because their parents are here. They're being exposed to the things of God. God's able to touch them. They'll, you know, if they stay here, well, they're probably going to get the Holy Ghost when they're just little kids. You know, our exposure to the things of God. But a lot of times we don't really realize what's happened to us. It's like the children of Israel. It was mentioned here today how they went through a desert, a wilderness experience. Many of them not even appreciating. And even mentioning how that it was God knew that he could see where they were and where they were headed, and their mindset was going to carry them right out of his promises, right out of the promised land. He knew he would have to punish them. He knew that they'd have to go through some difficult times for him to get them back there and get them started on the right track again. But they weren't aware of God's grace, how God's grace, His mercy was touching their life. Sometimes it's a difficult journey, you know, to finally come to a realization of what God is doing in my life. In fact, some people go through their whole life. Somebody asked the question this morning in Bible study, what happens to these people that they've had a touch of God? God's touched their lives. They've responded to God in a measure, but they're not really connected like they should be. They're not really dedicated. Or maybe they were at one time, but then things happen. They pull back. That's one of the reasons I'm wanting to rehearse again, and at least in a summary, the book of Hebrews, because it's dealing with that very thing. People that once were enlightened, but then they pulled back for some reason. In fact, let me give you a scripture. I knew if I could get started, I could handle this 15 minutes that they gave me. And because God's plan is so big, and it's so great, and it's so full of details. But in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, we didn't quite get to it today, but I just might mention it here. And the fifth verse. Well, let me start in the fourth verse. It says, and here he's dealing with people that have once known God in a greater measure, but they've pulled back a little bit. He said, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift. That's God's grace. Christ is a gift of God to us by grace. And you've tasted, it's the bread of heaven. You know, if you've been exposed and God's touched you, you had a taste of the heavenly gift, and you were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. I think we're lacking in that area. I don't think the church has been restored yet, that God's powers have really been, that we've really tasted of them, like in the early church. You know, those apostles, whatever they bound on earth was bound in heaven. Those men had the power of God backed them up in all they did. God was working in a greater measure back there, and we still are looking for that to come in a restored church down here. But it said, if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now that's not talking about you. It's talking to those Hebrews back there that saw the full manifestation of God. But I'm borrowing this set of scriptures today to just say it's dangerous for us to pull back. But those of us that God has dealt with, and we've had, or those that God's, they've known God in a measure, but they really haven't come to the knowledge of the truth. Full revelation of understanding what God's trying to work in their lives, and they let themselves get distracted by the things of this world. I remember when I was a young man, my wife will tell you, that I thought that my goal was to be a millionaire by the time I was 30 years old, and I was working on that. You know, I saw the potential of that. But what I didn't realize, even though I was a little boy that grew up in Holy Ghost services, I didn't realize that if I you know, God would let me probably set my affections on the things of this world and becoming successful in the world and finance. But what I didn't realize was God wasn't the one blessing me with that. That was my own doing. That was my own strength, that I was borrowing of man's successful ways and the things of this world to become something great. But what I didn't realize was, is if I really wanted to be something in God's kingdom, that it would take a certain measure of humility for him to lift me up, for him to bless me. You know, John wrote in his letter, his final letter, he said, I would to God that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That this prospering, that God will prosper you. He'll bless you. He'll favor you as your soul prospers. But it all has to do with your soul, how God's looking at it. And the other thing I didn't realize about God, which he did help me to understand, I learned it through the school of hard knocks, is I found out I could do all I wanted to do to achieve what I wanted to achieve in this world, but God could jerk the rug out from underneath me if it wasn't him working it in my life. And so it really wasn't, if he loved me, he wouldn't let me accomplish that. He might let me accomplish it to an extent, but at least twice in my life, I can tell you that the Lord pulled the rug. I went back down, and it was a hard lesson for me to learn that if I would really lean on Him, if I'd really put my affection, put Him first. Seek ye first the King. Here's the principle: seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. See, if you put God first, and He's on the front burner of your life, and here's the other thing about it, It's not microwavy. It's not techie in that it's instantaneous. The blessings of God don't come like the American way. But they're like Andrew said, there's steps that has to be taken. There's principles that have to be in your life for God to be able to bless you and to help you. And God has to do this for you. He said, let us go into perfection. The third verse of chapter 6 in Hebrews says, and this will we do if God permit. So it takes God's permission for you to move forward, move up, to graduate, to develop more. God won't let you move into the next step until you're really ready. And so it takes sometimes a lifetime to get this understanding that I have to have enough humility to serve Him and let Him elevate me. Because if I'm up here and God didn't put me up here, I'm on a false foundation and I am going to fall. I'm going to go back down to where I really am if God loves me. See, it's a whole new, I don't know what y'all say today, but when I was coming up as a young man, we said it's a whole new ball, it's a new ball of wax. In other words, we're starting all over sometimes till we get this right. But when you get the principles of God's righteousness beginning to work in your life, and there's a dedication that God's put the no-so. He's put the understanding in your heart that I have to serve Him. He loves me. I'm His child. Sometimes that's hard to get grips with. My wife's told me before that she saw that it was hard for me just to give over 100%. You know, well, I think we all have a little holdout. Sister Jenny's sister, Jill, she sang a song that God blessed through the years. It was her song. And it was about, there's a room in my heart, Lord, that I won't even go. I don't know what the name of that song is. Anybody know it? Secret Place. But the song finally gets, you know, to the place where you finally, God makes you open that door and let Him in. You won't go in there and you won't let Him in. There's a little holdout place, you know. I'm not just really willing to give over fully to God. I wonder, does anybody know that song? Somebody could sing that for us before we go have dinner. Is she? Michael does. All right, well, maybe we can. It's a good song. It fit right here. But anyway, it's a wonderful thing when you can at least develop to the place that you realize this can't be done the way man does it. God has to. He has to work in our lives, and we've got to give Him. Really, all we can do is serve the Lord with all our heart, our soul, and our strength, and our might. Give Him our all, and let Him do the rest of the work. He'll bless you. You will prosper. And even if He doesn't prosper you with natural things, you'll be rich, even richer in other areas, if God wants to use you in those areas. You know, Jesus, he wasn't a rich man. He was really a pauper while He lived here on this earth. In fact, He didn't even carry a purse. He let one of the guys carry the purse. And He just trusted God with that. Well, God doesn't call, everybody's not called to do what Jesus did. There's people that God's calling today. It'd be all right for me if God would call some of y'all to be, you know, millionaires. I could use your tithes. We could do more for God. You know, so I'm open for that. I'm open for God to bless us and prosper us. I think that's part of it. I think God, He owns all the cattle on a thousand hills. He can prosper us when He's ready to prosper us, or when we're ready to be prospered. But our job is to humble ourselves before Him and let Him work in our lives and let Him. Now let me show you something else. If you're up here and God puts you up here, nobody can take you down. You're not on a false foundation, but you're standing in a place that God's elevated you to, and nobody can move you off that place. So, wonderful principles that God has given us and is helping us, and it's a privilege. It's not something you've been drafted into, but you've been given the opportunity to be reconciled to God and to be reconnected to Him in a way that He can perform His goodness in your life and His blessings and His favor, which is the best thing that could possibly happen to you. Hallelujah. All right. Oh, somebody going to sing that song? Would it get me down from here and give the ladies downstairs just a few more minutes? There's enough food for everybody, so I hope everyone will stay and eat with us before you go home today. Praise the Lord. All right.
Heart is like a house. Yeah. This is your heart. My heart is like a house. One day I let my Savior in, and there were many rooms where we would visit now and then. But the day He saw that door, I knew this day had come too soon. I said, Jesus, I'm not ready for us to visit in that room. There's a place in my heart where even I don't go. I've got some things hidden there that I don't want no one to know. But He's handing me the key with tears of love on His face. He said, I want to make it clean. Take me to your secret place. So I opened up the door, and the two of us walked in. Oh, I was so ashamed. His light revealed my hidden sin. But when I think about that room now, I'm not afraid anymore. For I know my hidden sins no longer hide behind that door. There was a place in my heart. Of love on His face. that you don't want no one to know. Well, he's handing you the key with tears of love on his face. Oh, he wants to make you clean. Just let him in your secret place. Is there a place in your heart? That you don't want no one to know. Well, he's handing you the key with tears of love on his face. Oh, he wants to make you clean.
All right, they've got dinner ready downstairs. Let's thank the Lord for the food. And this is dinner day, so there won't be service at 4 o'clock. Brother Harrington called me this morning. They were going to be with us this evening, but he said they'd come next week. So we look forward to that. But let's look forward to the fellowship downstairs and the food. And then stay, if you would, and help us clean the church. There's not any hand towels in the men's restroom back here behind the platform. I'll just mention whoever's got that job. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, oh God, over our lives. We give you praise, Lord. Bless the food, the hands that prepared it today. Precious Lord, God, watch over those that travel today. Protect them. Keep your hand on them. In Jesus' name, we pray.